Bob Almanac today, and according to John from St. Michael, he has termed it and given it the title the world famous Bob Almanac. So thank you, John from St. Michael. I don't know if we've gone worldwide yet. We're well on our way. I don't think we've achieved it just yet, though. But
we're on the cusp.
John, thank you for your enthusiasm on that point. Today, Friday, the 4th of September, 248th day of the year, 118 full days left to go, 1833. Now, I thought Arnold from Flintstones and from Bedrock was the first ever paperboy, but apparently not. It was it wasn't until maybe he didn't file his papers, so he wasn't actually technically a paperboy. Or he made it, maybe he was doing it illegally, and that's why he was so bad at it.
Well, they were there
missing the mark and hitting.
I don't think theirs were newspapers. So they were on
they
stone.
Were rocks, right? Yeah, there's no so, paper. There's yeah, news, so maybe but it wasn't a paper.
So he was a rock boy.
Paper boy. He earned the job. He answered an advertisement in the New York Sun. It's funny. He went on to actually deliver papers for the New York Times, but the ad was in the New York Sun. Think about that.
Yeah.
1833, first paper boy's name was Barney Flaherty. 1884 on this date, Britain ends its policy of penal transportation to New South Wales in Australia. For many, many years, Australia was a penal colony, Neil.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was like the penal planet Rudapente. For the Klingons,
sure,
as you are aware of. So that was the state, 1884. 1885, it was the first ever buffet.
Ooh.
The Exchange Buffet, as it was called, in New York City. They called it the first self-service cafeteria in the U.S. They realized quite quickly they needed sneeze guards.
Yes.
People were sneezing all over the food, so they needed the sneeze guards, which we still use to this date.
Yes.
1885.
More than ever.
1923, the first American dirigible, the Shenandoah, not the group Shenandoah, but the dirigible, which of course is a blimp.
Yes.
But a dirigible is a rugged structure. It's not just a balloon like the blimps that we have now. It actually is a rigid, it's got a rigid cage, and then the material is around that rigid cage, and then of course it's filled with air. And Shenandoah was the first one to use helium. Germans are still using hydrogen. That's why the Hindenburg blew up.
Right.
Because it had hydrogen. And this was a good 15 years before the Hindenburg. We started using helium. The only problem with helium, it wasn't all that readily available. It's still hard to get. Sometimes we have shortages of helium, Neil.
Yes.
You know who didn't have a shortage of helium the other day was David Blaine.
Right. He had it hoarded, evidently.
Yeah, he did. Well, he's rich.
Yeah.
He does a lot of those stunts, and he did his little thing in Arizona where he just hung on. And
almost 25,000 feet he went up.
Got to be hard to breathe once you get up to that height.
I
didn't
so.
See him with any kind. He didn't even have a mask on, whether it was an oxygen mask or a surgical mask.
Right.
Who knows? You don't know where the virus might be floating. Could be 25,000 feet up.
Mm-hmm.
So the dirigible Shenandoah, sadly, a few years later, it went down. They lost it in a storm.
Mm-hmm.
In Ohio. 1962, the Beatles went to the studio for the first time.
How do you do what you do to me? I wish I knew.
The Beatles, as we know them, recorded for the first time. They recorded before without Ringo or without George Harrison. They had Pete Best in there and who knows who else. But John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Ringo, and George recording together for the first time. This is one of the songs they did, and this isn't known as a Beatles song. This is a Jerry the Pacemaker song. Also funny, from Liverpool. What a coincidence.
Yes.
So 1962. Let's jump ahead to 72.
A fortune in fabulous prizes may go to these people today if they know when the price is right. Sandy Flournoy, stand up. Paul Levine, stand up.
Not quite the same excitement as we would become familiar with when it comes to the opening of The Price is Right. Before Johnny Olsen started saying,
"You're the first contestants on the new Price is Right."
The reason it's different is because it's the first ever.
Yeah.
I shouldn't say the first ever because it did exist in the 50s and 60s. This is the first episode of the modern Price is Right that we, of course, grown to love and cherish over the many years. Bob Barker was the host this date. Johnny Olsen was the studio announcer. That was 1972. It is the longest running game show in the United States.
Pretty cool.
All right. Certainly not in Vietnam, though. They've got one a little bit longer over there. They got those Japanese ones over there in the east. Have you ever watched one of those?
I haven't.
A Japanese game show? It is crazy. You don't know what's going on.
No.
It's total bonkers. You're going to probably want to look at it, yeah.
Okay.
81, we had a new sound in country music in 81.
Give me a bottle.
Oh, yes.
Of your very best. Because I've got a problem. I'm going to drink off my chest.
So George Strait's first album, Strait Country, released on this date in 81, and it took the world by storm, as we like to say.
Yes.
And this was the first release off of that album. Although this song had already been on radio, it was released months before the release of the album, which was how we used to do it back in the old days.
Yep.
They'd release one, two, maybe three singles before the entire album was available for sale. But this was the date that that album was available for sale. Of course, that song was written by Dean Dillon, who's going to be inducted into the Country Music Hall of Fame. Dean Dillon will be a part of the Terry Clark Country Gold Show this weekend. So that's special.
Unwound,
we forgot to mention that Dave Loggins wrote Fast Moving Train, the Please Come to Boston guy who sung a lot of and wrote a lot of country songs.
Yes, he did.
I'm sure he sang. Usually when you write them, you sing them too.
Sure.
Because that's how you test them out. So that was 1981, George Strait. And he's had a pretty good career.
Not bad.
We play a lot of George Strait here on Bob FM. We're unapologetic. Nobody plays more George Strait. The George Strait satellite station calls us up and tells us, hey, you can't play so much. We're outdoing them, the George Strait station on the satellite.
Considering you could go almost 3 days playing a George Strait song every hour and just to cover his number ones.
1981 here this date. It was actually one of the biggest free agent waiver wire pickups in the history of TV news. Newscaster David Brinkley was given his outright release. He was put on the waiver wire by NBC, picked up by ABC, much like how the Vikings picked up Chris Carter. And David Brinkley went on to a nice little
$100
history of being on ABC. David Brinkley had his own show called This Week with David Brinkley.
Yes.
And they paid him well. 1991 in the news.
Country music fans are mourning the loss of singer Dottie West, who passed away this morning in Nashville. West was hurt when she was involved in a car accident on Friday. Her liver sustained severe damage, and today, during a third operation since the accident, West died of heart failure. Her career spanned 25 years. And
yes, it did. One of the great ladies of country music. She had been in a car accident. She asked her elderly neighbor to give her a ride, I think, to the Grand Ole Opry, wasn't it?
I think
or
so.
Or it was somewhere in Nashville. She was going to the Ryman, or she's going to the Grand Ole Opry, the Opry House, one of those two. And they get into an accident. He's not a very good driver. He doesn't know how to merge. And they get in the accident. She thinks she's okay. Goes home and realizes she has internal organ damage and bleeding and things. Yeah. And she does not recover.
Mm.
Dottie West dead on this date in 1991.
How old was she?
Does it say? 58 only.
Oof.
58.
Of course, Steve Warner got his start with her, right?
Well, a lot of people did.
Yeah, sure.
I can just imagine and remember her red hair.
Yes.
1991, MLB Statistical Accuracy Committee meets and they vote and they approved to drop the asterisk from the Roger Maris 1961 home run title of 61 because it was a longer season than Babe Ruth's 60.
Sure.
Babe Ruth played in 154 that year, or at least it was a 154. I doubt he played in every game because he had a hot dog problem.
Yeah, I don't think he did.
And a beer and a carousing problem, that Babe Ruth guy. Mm-hmm. But it was a 154-game season. It was a 162-game season for Maris in 61 when he hit 61. And they also, on this date in 91, determined that an official no-hitter or perfect game must go at least 9 innings. This was the date that Dean Chance and the Minnesota Twins
lost
their 5-inning perfect game from whatever that was, 67. 1993, we need to remember Tattoo.
Tattoo.
Guess what?
You just finished reading the Sherlock Holmes book I gave you. I have decided to become a master of disguise, right?
How did you know?
Elementary, my dear Tattoo. Elementary.
Oh, a cameo by Mr. Rourke as well. Smiles, everyone, smiles. Hervé Villechaize, of course, was a Tattoo, and he was Odd Job
No. Knick-knack.
Oh, he was Knick-knack. That's right. Odd Job was the big guy.
Yes.
Of course, Tattoo would be Knick-knack.
Right.
So what James Bond movie was that?
That was Man with the Golden Gun.
Are you telling me, though, that Knick-knack couldn't do an odd job or two or random task?
Random
what about
task.
Random task?
I love that.
So that was 93. Same day.
And the ground ball to short. Velarde. He did it. He did it. No hitter for Jim Abbott.
On the same day, we were mourning the loss of Hervé Villechaize. The age of 50, Jim Abbott, the one-handed pitcher, throws a no-hitter for the New York Yankees.
He had stuff.
1993. 1997, the last Ford Thunderbird was made, but actually it wasn't because they brought it back like 5 years later.
Yep.
And then it was gone. Every now and then I'll see one of those late 70s Thunderbirds, which is kind of cool. It's one of the iconic, you know, the old Mama's Gonna Take, well, what's the Beach Boys song? Something about you're gonna take the T-Bird away?
Yes.
Isn't that a song?
Yes. Take your T-Bird away.
Sing it for me.
I can't remember.
Sing it for me, Al Jardine. Mm. 2002, American Idol was huge.
The winner of American Idol 2002.
And we'll have fun till her daddy takes the T-Bird away. There you go. Eventually.
Who is?
Who is it?
Kelly Clarkson.
Oh my God.
Kelly Clarkson, your first ever American Idol champ. She beat out that Justin guy. I can't remember his last name. He was the one who looked like Sideshow Bob from Simpsons. But Kelly Clarkson wins it. And, you know, she's still doing a nice job even today.
She's still out there.
She's got her own show. She had her own show now. And she's doing music and country, pop, rock. It just doesn't matter. 2002, congratulations, Kelly Clarkson. In 06.
An ocean dive off the coast of northeastern Australia. Nature finally caught up with Steve Irwin. While filming a new documentary, the Animal Planet star ran into trouble when a stingray approached. Irwin was stung in the heart by one of the sharp, toxin-filled barbs protruding from the tail.
That was not good, but at least you can say he went doing what he loved.
Yes, he did.
And that was crocodile hunter Steve Irwin. People thought it would have been a crocodile that would have done him in, but it was a stingray instead.
He was so entertaining.
When he was on those late night shows and they'd come out, he was very, very good. Do not take stingrays lightly.
No.
Do not. That was 2006. 2016.
Pope Francis today declared Mother Teresa a saint of the Roman Catholic Church, addressing 120,000 people in St. Peter's Square. Francis said the Albanian nun who found the Missionaries of Charity Order in 1950 was a, quote, dispenser of divine mercy.
Was Mother Teresa from Albania?
That's what I heard.
Albania. That's going to be another verse in the Coach Albania song.
Yes.
So Mother Teresa, or Teresa, if you will, is now a saint 4 years ago. And then 2 years ago, this had a Minnesota connection.
The ruby slippers. What have you done with them?
13 years ago, someone stole a pair from the Judy Garland Museum in Grand Rapids, Minnesota.
They used some heavy, like a baseball bat or something, to knock out this window.
The iconic shoes, one of only four known existing pairs left that were used during filming of the 1939 film The Wizard of Oz. Museum workers say there were virtually no fingerprints or clues left behind, except police say for a single sequin that fell off a shoe.
So the shoes were stolen, and on this date, the FBI announced that they had found the ruby red slippers.
That was a good find.
It was a very good find. It was very important. Here's the announcement.
From they're nailed to a wall in a roadside diner in Missouri.
And they searched all over, including mine pits. Finally, today,
under the rainbow,
the slippers are back home.
There they are, the slippers. They're back. The original one of four pairs that they used during the show. You know, the funny thing is when they stole it at the museum in Grand Rapids, they totally walked right past the Tin Man's cod piece.
Well,
they could have grabbed that as well. All they wanted were the slippers. Well, that cod piece is pretty expensive and valuable as well. Because you got to protect the Tin Man.
I'm sure it is.
So that was this day 2 years ago. Dorothy's shoes were back, and you know they did some real serious vetting of the Wicked Witch of the West and the North and the East and the South.
Yep,
because that obviously the first person you go to,
right?
That would be the first potential culprit. Mitzi Gaynor's on our birthday list today.
I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair. I'm gonna wash that man right out of my hair.
She's in South Pacific. Didn't they use this for a commercial? I'm gonna wash that gray right out of my hair.
Yes, they did. A little Grecian formula.
I'm gonna wave.
No, it's men. What's the? There's one for ladies.
Yeah, there is.
I'm gonna wave that man right out of my arms.
Mitzi Gaynor, happy birthday.
Fine swimmer and dancer.
89. You like Ken Hawk Harrelson?
That ball hit high and deep. Stretch! Stretch! Get on back there. They look up. You can put it on the board. Yes!
He's the White Sox broadcaster. He and Ken Herbeck used to get into it because he would tell Herbeck to grab some bench
right
after he struck out. That goes back to like the 80s and 90s.
Hawk was annoying.
Ken, he was a homer. Yeah. We got to watch him because he was on WGN, the superstation, for White Sox games. He is 79.
He was
since
a fine
retired.
Golfer, too.
He has retired from his duties. We have a member of the Pips, Bubba Knight, 78.
Oh, very nice.
Got a couple golfers. Speaking of golfers, Tom Watson, 71. Ray Floyd, 78.
Couple of
both
good
Both Hall
ones.
Of Famers yep. there. Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
Cartier. Hey, Mr. Cartier. Mr. Cartier.
On the Summer of Me TV.
So pick up a chair. Don't despair because Freddie's here and you've got his ass.
Thursday.
He was very good on Welcome Back, Cotter. Lawrence Hilton Jacobs.
He was my favorite.
He was your favorite sweat hog. Yeah. He's 67 here today. Damon Wayans, funny guy.
You could slip on a banana peel and fall on your butt.
Fall down, bust my skull open, have my blood and brains ooze out on the carpet so you can get a couple of cheap laughs, huh? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that.
That's him on In Living Color. He is 60 today. Now, we first saw him in Beverly Hills Cop. He's the one who gave the banana to Eddie Murphy. So I can do the banana on the tailpipe thing.
Really?
Yes,
oh,
that
yeah.
was him
oh,
in that geez, movie making his debut. So happy birthday, Damon Wayans is 60. I know you're a big Schmidt guy from New Girl.
You're terrible at puzzles. Worst I've ever seen by a mile. What do you have, fly vision? Look at this puzzle. It's ages 6 and up. You're up, Winston. You are way up.
You want to say that to my face?
This is a corner piece, Winston. How do you not see that? What are you, blind? I'm so sorry. Actually, a blind man could feel the smooth edges of a corner piece.
It was Schmidt. Do you remember him well? Max Greenfield. Oh, man, he's 40 already. Sing along, Neil. You know the words to this. She was Foxy Cleopatra in Goldmember.
Oh, yeah.
Beyonce, you'll only need to know her first name. She's 39 today, and we also have 38 today. We got to remember the entire cast of the TV show Valerie.
Is this TV theme time?
It is, sung by Roberta Flack. She was one of Valerie Harper's kids, or this guy was, this young man. He's now 38, actually 48. He was Willie. Jason Bateman's brother on the Valerie show.
Oh.
Danny Ponce, 48 today.
Life is such a sweet insanity. It's nice to know your friends.
Okay.
Oh, boy. On to the gone but not forgotten category for today. Our former First Lady of the day, no 3, 4, 5, 6 names, just Sarah Polk. Sarah Polk, born on this day, 18.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey. Stand by for news. Paul Harvey. Good day.
I guess it's Paul Harvey next on the list. Peabody Award-winning news. He was the guy. We all worked at a radio station where you had a Paul Harvey.
No, we didn't. It had to be an ABC affiliate.
Hopefully all of us did at some point because he was great. With the rest of the story as well as the new news. Actor, director, he did many, many, many things. I know him best as Ernest T. Bass on The Andy Griffith Show.
Howdy do to you and you. It's me, it's Ernest T.
Now, how many episodes was he on? Not many.
Yeah, probably
people
a
remember
handful.
Him well.
Yes, very memorable character as Ernest T. Bass, but he also directed many shows. He was cast member on your show of shows. A very funny, talented guy. Howard Morris is his name. 1919. And he was one of the Darrens on Bewitched, Dick York.
The first one.
The first one, yeah.
Good evening, Endora.
Hello, Dexter.
Darren. The name is Darren.
She always got his name wrong. It was Dexter, Darewood.
Yes. She had a number of names for
That's
him.
An automatic laugh.
For sure.
On a sitcom. Yes. And it's sitcom 101 is the whole misidentification, mispronunciation of names.
Yep. Well,
it's a laugh a minute.
It happened frequently to Dick York, born on this day in 1928. And they're all gone, but not forgotten.
Now, he left Bewitched because he got very sick. He had a bad, I mean, he acted and he could barely stand sometimes because of a back injury that he suffered filming a movie. And that's why he left after, I don't know, how many seasons was it? Three? Four?
I would say.
Something like that. Yeah, and then he got sick and then just never came back. And then we learned to love Dick Sargent. Another Dick.
Another Dick.
On Bewitched. Would you like to start the Bob-a-thon Friday, Labor Day, no repeat workday Friday with Jody Messina, Bye Bye, Martina McBride, Happy Girl, or Ronnie Millsap, She Keeps the Home Fires Burning?
I'll go Jody.
Oh, a lady.
KDDG Albany. KDDG HD.